This is an emergency edition of the Bulls Talk podcast presented by Coors Light. I'm Casey Johnson, joined today by my NBC Sports Chicago teammates, Jason Goff and Rob Schaefer. Coming up on the show, it's all DeMar DeRozan all the time. We get into the pros, the cons, the surprise, the departure in terms of roster building that this management regime is taking.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Born in the Rockies, Coors Light is lagered cold for a crisp, clean taste. Filtered cold to ensure clarity and brightness. And packaged cold for peak refreshment. Because those who thirst for more deserve the world's most refreshing beer.
And on that note, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. that's a fine place to start. The place that you didn't hear. Welcome into... I guess another emergency edition of the Bulls Talk podcast, part four, part three, whatever it is. Rob Schaefer, Casey Johnson. Let's just get right to the nitty gritty. DeMar DeRozan is a Chicago Bull. Casey, what the hell is going on out here?
This team is building through free agency, not the draft, like we all predicted, right? It's pretty astonishing seeing the Bulls acting like a big market team and just – you know, going out and spending. Well, they're not even really spending. Well, they are spending, right. But they're not doing this with cap space. They're doing this with sign-in trades and exceptions, et cetera. But, you know, adding a lot of payroll to a roster and shifting it hard into overdrive towards win now mode. I mean, DeRozan's timeline matches up with Vucevic's timeline. And then you've got Lonzo and Pat Will and coming up on the young side and Zach LaVine and Caruso kind of in the middle. So it's roster construction in the vision of Arturis Karnišovas, Mark Eversley, and their staff. So I've never really covered anything like it in all the years I've been doing this, because this is not typically how the Bulls teams that I've covered have been built.
Yeah. And it's big market behavior, like you said, Casey, which is noteworthy. It seems as if the Bulls are going to build a big market reputation by the end of all this. I mean, we were talking yesterday about where does Lonzo Ball fit into the hierarchy of Bulls free agent acquisitions and franchise history. The next day, you might just top it with DeMar DeRozan. So it's just wild. It's obviously exciting for fans. We'll get into, because Jason, at the end of our last podcast, our Lonzo reaction podcast, we talked about the reasons that we wouldn't have been as enamored with adding DeMar DeRozan to this thing. So we should get to that in a little bit. But to start with the positives, he's obviously a guy that's going to help this team tremendously, especially offensively. I think just how many nights over the last two seasons, that's what I can speak to intimately, have we watched this team? And if Zach LaVine isn't creating every shot that this team gets off the bounce, is it just a total bust? Now you have a really dynamic perimeter shot creator to add in DeRozan. He's obviously evolved into a really, really plus playmaker in this stage of his career. Averaged 7 assists a game last year. He plays, or at least last season for the Spurs, played a combination of small and power forward, fills a need on the wing for the Bulls. Patrick Williams going to slide to the four a little bit more. That's a development, or you would think, and that's a development that I would be a fan of. Obviously, he's going to help the Bulls with their free throw shooting disparity, not necessarily shooting them, but just getting to the line and adding that wrinkle to their offense. DeRozan averaged 7 free throw attempts a game last year. The Bulls as a team averaged just over 17, which is dead last in the NBA. So there's a lot to like about what he's going to bring to the team. Obviously, multi-position ability, Casey. A lot of these guys fit that mold, which is in keeping with the AK vision. And then, you know, last thing I would say, just in terms of what's impressed me about what they've been able to do over the last few days, like you said, Casey, it's big market behavior, but they're not necessarily doing it by clearing out cash in the way that we thought they were going to have to, or that we predicted that they were going to have to in the run-up to free agency. The creativity and the ingenuity behind the cap gymnastics that they've been able to do to execute what's going to end up being 3 sign-in trades, I guess if you count Daniel Theis, to get to the place that they're at right now and not have to go under the cap and maintain certain flexibilities that you can maintain if you are over the cap. I think it's just been tremendously impressive. We'll see where the team goes from here. It's certainly a much improved roster and a much more exciting roster than the one that we've watched for the last 2 years. So I think there's a lot to be excited about, and there's a lot to be impressed by the way that this front office has operated. It certainly just could not be more of a 180 from what we're used to in the city.
Yeah. So that's another thing, what we're used to as opposed to what's happening. And if it makes it right, like, I think a lot of people are getting caught up, like, this would never happen with Gar Foreman and John Paxson, so therefore it must be right. We're going to find out if it's right. I understand the trepidation that Bulls fans have because of the DeMar piece. What is this going to do to Kobe? What is this going to do to Pat? How is he going to play off the ball? I'm a fan of throwing as many good players on the floor as possible and figuring it out, like letting hoopers hoop. And, you know, I'll get to the crazy part in a couple of minutes because I got something crazy in my head about who this team is perfectly built for. But DeMar DeRozan isn't a plus defender. Pat Williams is going to have to damn near be like an all NBA defender, you know, second or third team, because of the bind that this might put them in positionally. You know, Caruso and some other guys that they have out there, that's going to, Lonzo is going to defend. Let me ask you this, the COVID part. Arturis Karnišovas and Mark Eversley, you know, Zach LaVine going down was a lot of people's thoughts saying, oh, that's why they didn't make the playoffs. They went 3-8 in that stretch. Obviously it didn't help, but I'm not the person that thinks they didn't make it solely because of Zach's stretch out.
Agreed.
Is there some kind of like star power insurance here where you got a guy who, if you go for 16, 17 a game for the year, and then next thing you know, if there's an injury or something happens, you got a guy who can get you 22, 23 points per game in a pinch for a couple of weeks stretch, whatever the case may be. I'm trying to figure out not only, because I understand the fit. You're just throwing a bunch of hoopers out there and you're trying to figure it out. But I'm also trying to figure out what the thinking is, what the thought process is, other than just throwing a bunch of really good players out there because they can't miss the playoffs again. So maybe they're doubling down. And, you know, all these guys are pretty tradable in 2 years, right? So, you know, I don't want to take anybody back to the three alphas era of Bulls basketball, where it was Rajon Rondo, Dwayne Wade, and Jimmy Butler. But we've seen teams throw together things that people may not think fit on paper. But I'm really trying to understand. I'm not mad at it. I'm just trying to figure out basketball-wise how it's going to look. We're not going to know until the first game of the season and then the first couple of weeks how these guys mesh, how they play together. But, you know, DeMar DeRozan, that was the piece where I'm like, okay, they got Lonzo. This is the smoke around this. How do I feel about it? But it's not smoke. These dudes have targeted who they wanted and gone out and seemingly got all of them.
Yeah. They had big designs, big targets. And like I said, it's not really the way I've used to the management team working. But they had big targets and they went out and got them. I will say John Hollinger just weighed in and he is not a fan of this acquisition.
Everybody is trashing this. Well, not everybody, but the people who I respect, a lot of people I respect are out here saying, yo, this is insane. Like, I don't know what the hell they're thinking.
Let me just read the headline from his article on The Athletic. And obviously John has front office experience himself, pretty well respected, very well respected around the league. He writes, they give up a player and draft capital to pay a player roughly twice what he's worth over the next three seasons. Chicago now set itself up to chase a 500 record and a low-end playoff berth this year and kneecapped its ability to do anything beyond that for the next half decade or so. So
there you go.
This is the core. I mean, the core is now DeMar DeRozan, Zach LaVine, Nikola Vucevic, Lonzo Ball, and Patrick Williams. That's what we have to analyze, because this, how is this going to work on the court now? So,
Rob, go ahead, because my crazy thought, or thought that I think was crazy, and then I started to rumble about my head. Is this team like made for Ben Simmons. Like if the Zach LaVine piece in this, the extension, the maxing, whatever the case may be, the future of Zach LaVine, do you think there's anything here that maybe, just maybe, this team might be made for somebody else? Or, you know, you go out there and try to figure out with these pieces what you can figure out. But at the same time, because I'm looking at this, and it was dropped on me by somebody who, you know, is a basketball Bigfoot, as they call him. And he just hit me and was like, yo, this would be perfect for Ben Simmons to slide in for Zach LaVine if Philly and a lot of people think that Philly's only real deals that are left out there, like two or three teams, that it would fit. And also that player would complement Joel Embiid, and Chicago is one of them, and Zach LaVine is one of them. And it's pie in the sky, you know, crazy trade talk. But, you know, is there any case that if this thing doesn't go the way they think it should go in terms of contract negotiations or something of that nature, that, you know, you've got a team that might be ready to play with another star and a guy like Ben Simmons?
That honestly might be too much for me to wrap my head around right now, but I'm skeptical only because of the reported asking price that the Sixers have been looking for on Ben Simmons. I'm not even sure where they would see Zach LaVine in terms of like the center of a package. I think it would be a grave mistake to have the core that the Bulls had and the things that they, the resources that they had to work with, and build this team and then immediately take Zach LaVine off it, who I still think is the best player on the team. So
there's no doubt that he's the best player, but like the last 2 years the last year, especially, like trying to figure out who Arturis and Mark Eversley's guys were, and, you know, how they felt about guys who were still here. I don't know how still at this point, like,
yeah, it's hard to predict, but I mean, man, to overpay, and let's be real, it's an overpay for DeMar DeRozan, and then to turn around and do that to get out from under, you know, paying Zach LaVine a max that you're then just going to go pay Ben Simmons. I don't know. It's just, it's a lot of shuffling. It's a lot of movement. And if Tony Gill was here, I think he would say it would just be aggression for aggression's sake, which is kind of what the DeRozan move feels like a little bit to me. And KC, to your point about Hollinger's take, and I think Kevin Pelton over at ESPN had a similar one. His headline, I believe, for his trade grades piece, which those are very popular, was one team won the DeMar DeRozan sign and trade, and it wasn't even close. And, you know, the Bulls got a D minus in that trade grades piece. The reality is, this is exciting for Bulls fans, and like, that's warranted to be excited about this, to be excited in the inevitable jump in the win column for next year. This is a team that we've been talking about, top six seed or bust, but we just weren't sure how they were going to get there. I mean, I still don't feel comfortable projecting or predicting anything with this team, because anything can happen, but you have to think this is a top four to six seed in the East this year. And then the idea is you just keep taking those incremental steps up and keep building. And maybe you've built a bridge to an era of taking a jump higher. Maybe you've boosted your reputation around the league for attracting free agents and building an environment that people want to come play in. I mean, that's certainly an underlying factor in all this stuff. But, you know, as much as I really think DeMar DeRozan is going to help this team, especially offensively, and it's exciting to have a third or fourth star, whatever you consider him in here, and not for nothing, like, think of how much time we've spent debating if the Bulls should be relying on guys like Thad Young and Tomas Satoransky as much as they have. Now you have three guys who have been all-stars in their career in those places. And then a fourth option like Lonzo Ball. I mean, that's the making of a good team, if a top heavy one, and we'll see how they fill out the rest of this roster depth wise. But the reality is the asset calculation on this thing is ludicrously one-sided. I mean, another first round pick going out 2 seconds, not as big a deal, but still significant for, a team that's going to be relying on 2 second round picks next year, it looks like, in terms of depth. I guess I shouldn't presume that, but they'll be on the roster. They'll be signed to it, all accounts indicate. And then a guy in Thad Young, who, you know, obviously DeMar DeRozan is probably a superior player to Thad Young at this point, but at twice the money, and you've now skewed this team from being super, super front court heavy at the end of last season to being the complete opposite. And now I wonder what the front court rotation is going to look like, because the way I see it, Patrick Williams is the starting power forward, which I support. Nikola Vucevic is the starting center. But what is there behind them now? And again, this is This is too early to be making
Marco Simonovic, baby.
Well, but yes, but there's also, it's also far too early to make any final determinations on this roster because Lauri Markkanen is still here. Who knows what he could turn into, or if he might be back even, dare I say, or what they could do with exceptions or veteran minimums. That's the other thing. Like, this front office has defied expectation in terms of attracting big name free agents. Who's to say that they're not going to work the margins and find good value on veteran minimum guys? And, you know, maybe this Chicago being a desirable location to play thing is sustainable. But in the back of my mind, as I've seen all the excitement pour in, and again, it's justified for what this team is going to do next year and the exciting brand of basketball it's going to play. It's hard for me not to get a little queasy thinking about the long term of this thing, because it's a third first round pick going out. It's, like I said, the second round picks, Thad Young going out, and you're now paying an average of $28 million a year to a guy in DeMar DeRozan who is turning 32 this week and is going to be 34 by the end of that deal. It could work out. We got to see. I'm happy to be, you know, I'm happy to have my skepticism proven misguided, but you know, there's just a lot of onus on this to look good in year one, like really, really good, because it's the last piece. It's locked in.
Do you think the transactions as we see them from day one to now, do you think they've gotten worse as we've gone along?
No, I thought day one was a home run.
And but I'm saying from day one to now, do you think they have gotten worse as we've gone along? You got the ball move, you got the Caruso move, you've got this move now.
Yeah. Well, I think I really liked both the ball and Caruso moves. So I wouldn't say that there was
like Caruso at the money that they gave him?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you could call it a slight overpay. I think it's directly addressing an issue that this team has had in point of attack defense. I think you could call it the biggest weakness of the Bulls last year was their guard defense on the ball and defense at the point of the screen. So, you know, it's at the top end of his salary range to be sure. But I wasn't too mad at that, to be honest, especially when it looked like they might be able to retain their mid-level exception afterwards. I'm sure that's not as feasible as it was at the start of the day. But certainly I see the DeRozan move just from an asset play perspective. Again, basketball wise, we got to see what it looks like, and it could very well work out. And I think there's reason for optimism that it could work out. Just again, from an asset play perspective, just looking at what the deals are, it's clearly a couple levels below quality wise or prudence wise, what the moves were yesterday.
And they're not done. I mean, they've got five roster spots left.
So, exactly.
We got to see kind of how the roster is built out from here. You know, I can see why the DeRozan one is polarizing, though. I mean, you know, it's a guy who's clearly going to be probably being overpaid by the year three of this deal. Just also because he's not going to be in as much of a need to score role as he has been in other places in his career, you know, because he's going to be surrounded by scorers. So I can see how much of a, you know, improvement he's going to be in year one with his passing ability, his mid-range game, that kind of stuff. But by year three, that contract could get dicey. But look, other dicier contracts than his have been dealt, so we'll see how this plays out. And the big thing is we got to see how the rest of the roster is built out.
Well, I mean, the intrigue and the fascination level are definitely going to be there this season. We went from talking about Lauri Markkanen and Wendell Carter Jr. finding themselves in the front court and what was Kobe White going to be and Zach LaVine finally becoming an all-star to – a team now with three all-stars in the projected starting lineup and Lonzo Ball as their point guard. Things have changed a little bit. You know, Bulls are mad as hell they didn't get to that bubble, boy. and they didn't make it to the playoffs this year. Hey, Arturis Karnišovas and Michael Reinsdorf and all the powers that be are making sure that this winter is not like the last couple of winters. So I can dig it. You know, this is all hot air until ball gets rolled out and we see what's exactly going down with these dudes. Cause yeah, we talked a little bit about on-court leadership or basketball leadership in the last pod, or was it part one or part two of the last pod? Yeah. Well, now you've got some playoff veterans, you've got championship experience in your locker room now. The words and the guidance might be a little bit, you know, stronger coming from guys who have gone deep in the playoffs, such as Alex Caruso now and DeMar DeRozan and guys like that, and being coached by Pop and talking to young dudes about, you know, what the next steps are to take. So hopefully some of that stuff on the court rubs off the court for some of these young guys growing. I still want to see the development of obviously Patrick Williams and Kobe White. You know, Kobe's still on the mend, but this is a far more interesting season than I thought it was going to shape up to be when the point guards that we were talking about were after Lonzo Ball and Dennis Schroeder. By the way, has Dennis Schroeder found a team yet? You talk about
money is drying up too.
You talk about telling your agent I need to go get something and go get me this, and it's three spots for four or five guys, and Lonzo money dried up, and the Kyle Lowry money dried up. Dennis Schroeder is out here. You got dudes who are expecting 20 who might have to live with 11 or 12. You know, so it's interesting what the market bears. You guys have been doing a great job of following you guys on Twitter. Make sure you are following our guys on Twitter. Make sure you're reading everything that they are putting out there for you at NBCSportsChicago.com. In closing, anything you guys want to wrap up with? The DeMar DeRozan piece to this, obviously, as you can hear in our voices, we're trying to figure out where it fits, how it's going to fit, what the likelihood that you'll be successful with that contract, not just this year, but down the road as he gets older. It's up in the air in terms of the three or four transactions that we've seen so far in the couple of days of free agency.
Yeah, I just want to say in closing, I'm drawing the line that I'm not doing an emergency podcast when they do the Enes Kanter signing.
Okay? yeah, we'll let Tony and Rob chop that one up, because you know I'll pretend like my phone is off, and Casey has already told you he won't be a part of that one. So in closing, Rob, what do you have for us?
It's an exciting time to be a Bulls fan, really. I mean, I know I just 100%. went on a little bit of a spiel of my reservations or my skepticism about this deal in its totality. But at the end of the day, this front office came in pledging to bring this franchise back to relevancy. And in their way, they look poised to do it one way or the other. Now, what the ceiling of this team is going to be, where they end up, what this little three-year window here, that there needs to be a big jump, what that yields remains to be seen. But there's at least, just like you said, Jason, a ton of excitement, a ton of intrigue around the Bulls this year. I'm really looking forward to seeing what it looks like, because just with the amount of multifaceted, multi-positional players, good passers, like there are so many things about this roster that are going to be interesting to see how the pieces slide into place, and just fun players to watch. So I think that's a totally viable fan takeaway to have from this thing. And I'm excited to see what they do next, because like we said, Lowry's still out there. We don't know what Lowry's future is going to hold. And if the Bulls front office has proved anything to us over the last, let's call it 6 months, it's that they're pretty tricky, and they're pretty creative pulling things out of thin air, and not just moves, but big splash moves. So it'll be interesting to see how they round out the rest of this roster, because there are still holes. And if they want to be a winning team, those holes are going to have to be filled in a productive way. But I think just watching the way that they've operated so far, you can at least have faith that they're going to take the most creative route to get there, or the most, innovative route to get there. So a lot still to watch throughout free agency, and then obviously a ton to dig into in the season. So looking forward to all that.
Yeah, man. The Bulls have forced themselves into mattering on the grand scheme of things. You got people trying to figure out, are they a 3-5 seed? Are they a 4-6 seed? There's a wide range of results that could happen with this group. And I'm looking forward to hanging out with you guys and talking about it all season long. But obviously we still got, you know, a few more days of the free agency left, and I'm getting ready to watch some summer league for some reason. So for Rob Schaefer and Casey Johnson, our digital content producer, Tony Gill, I'm Jason Goff, saying thank you so much for hanging out with us here on the Bulls Talk Podcast, brought to you by Coors Light.
We hope you enjoyed the Bulls Talk Podcast presented by Coors Light. Find us on Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. Subscribe if you like the show. Feel free to rate and review us. New episodes are ready every Tuesday and Friday morning, and sometimes in emergency fashion.
One, two, three, four. Those are numbers, but you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on AutoTrader. They're really good at numbers. Auto Trader.